Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, everyone. So I'm actually wondering how many of you listening today thought for a split second that today's show was going to in any way encourage exercise as a way to manage weight or to achieve a certain appearance or body type. Because if you did, that's okay. I completely understand. Because there was a time in my life when if I heard the word Pilates, then I would have thought the same thing. I would have listened to this podcast solely motivated by my eating disordered self. But I am actually trying my darndest through this podcast to change the narrative out there about exercise. Because I think in our toxic diet culture, the way we tend to think about exercise is so distorted, it's so faulty, and it's so damaging. Look, exercise is not done to lose weight. That's not the purpose. And it's not done to compensate for what we just ate. And that's why I'm hoping that for any of you out there listening today who just think about exercise in those ways, or who say things like, I just need to exercise more and eat less, that after you're done listening to today's show, that the next time you hear the words exercise or Pilates, you have a very different way of thinking about these things, and ideas pop in your head that are in no way related to those toxic diet culture messages. So here with me today to help discuss all of this, and believe me, so much more, is the wonderful and amazing Leslie Logan. She's the founder of the onlinepilatesclasses.com, and that is the largest catalog of free Pilates videos tutorials and the only on-demand platform that helps Pilates lovers of all levels have accountability and community. Leslie has been teaching since 2008 and was trained by one of Joseph Pilates' clients, making her a second-generation instructor. She has trained hundreds of teachers and taught thousands of people around the world. She helps women ditch perfection, take messy action, and prioritize themselves first so they can do life better. All right. Well, Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christina. Thanks for having me.
So with most of my guests, I just like to know a little bit about how you got to the place in your career and your life. Kind of what landed you here, if you're okay sharing that.
Yeah, I love sharing that. I think that's the story that makes the most sense to why we're even talking. So I'm Leslie Logan. I am the co-founder of onlinepilatesclasses.com. And if you told me in 2005 that this is what I'd be doing, I would have laughed out loud. I actually thought that Pilates was an infomercial workout, that it couldn't do what it said it could. And like, you should just like, everything should be a hot, sweaty, you know, punishment of a workout. At the time I was just graduated college. I didn't have a lot of friends anymore because all my friends got married and moved away after college. And I stayed in the city that I was in, which is in Orange County, California. And a girlfriend was like, hey, do you want to go to Pilates? I heard it's going to help me lose weight. And I was looking at a girl who's like tiny, like teeny tiny. And I was like, well, you don't need to lose any weight. I really want a friend. So I'm going to go with you. And I'll be honest, like at that time, at the 22-year-old, like it was raised in the 80s and 90s. Like I too was like, well, maybe I could lose some, like freshman 15, but like I could see she's too skinny, but I was like, but for me, maybe. What was so great though, is that that's not what I got. Instead, I found parts of my body I never felt before. I felt muscles I never felt before. For the first time in my life, I actually felt like I was in my body. Like, I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but I just felt like I walked around in my head. I'm an Aquarius, by the way, so like that definitely makes a lot more sense. But like in my head, and then like my body was at something else. And I fell in love with how it made me feel. So I changed the entire work schedule where I was at so I could go every day. And the more I did it, the more I got connected to myself, and the more I realized how unhappy I was where I was living, and the more I became open and realized opportunities were arising that I could move to LA. When I moved to LA, someone's like, you should be a Pilates instructor. And I was like, I could do that. And So I became a Pilates instructor because I wanted to help more women like me, that perfectionist type, that overachiever type, really get to know themselves more. And in the 15 years I've taught Pilates, like, luckily right away, the idea of being smaller and taking up less space left me, because I think the thing that's so cool is, like, when you get to know yourself more and you get connected to yourself with your mind and body, you stop thinking about those things like, oh, if I just got skinnier, it'd be better. And you start realizing, no, actually I'm stronger and that's better. And I have amazing posture, which means I have amazing digestion and I have a clear head and I know how to move meditation. And so that's what I got super passionate about. And that's what I helped women do for 14 years in Los Angeles and then online starting in 2018. And it's been really cool to just help more people take time for themselves and just get to know their body versus, like, trying to punish their body for something that it didn't do wrong.
You said so many nuggets there, right? Just that last bit there too, like, punish their body for something it didn't do wrong. Like that right there. I'm wondering how many people just resonated with that statement, because I'm wondering, even with my own history, I felt like my body was, like, doing something wrong. Like I had to do something to counter that it didn't look the way I thought it was supposed to, or the way that would have, you know, supposed to, so I could be happy. Right. And I wonder if people in Los Angeles, cause I lived in Los Angeles too, for a number of years, just for school and things. And, you were kind of joking around a little bit before we hit record that it's kind of like an alternate universe with, like, so much emphasis on, like, the external and kind of superficial. Yes. And, yes. I'm really just trying to imagine you as a Pilates instructor down there. Like, you seem to have really connected with the mind body and, like, that with Pilates, but were people coming to you wanting that, or were they coming to you more for the, like, what drew you into it initially, like the superficial, wanting to lose weight, wanting to look a certain way? Like, what was that like for you?
100% came to me for superficial. So, okay. And unlike other people, I'll say this, I never promoted the superficial, but mm-hmm. I absolutely would let them come for that. And I would be honest with them. And I think that's really important. I think in the fitness industry, there's a lot of body positivity out there, which I love. I think it's really, really important, but also, like, there's this, like, shaming towards people who will let people come in and even say they want to lose weight. And so mm-hmm. I am very big, like, if you come to me and you want to lose weight, I will educate you on what I can do. So we were talking before we hit record, I do not know your hormones. I do not know what you're eating. I do not know your genetics. I do not know your sleep patterns. I do not know your stress levels. There are so many things that go into what makes your body up. Working out can only support a journey, but it is not the journey. And then, mm-hmm. so I find that when I would share with people, like, I love that that's your goal. Here's what I see when I see you. I think sometimes it's really important. Like, I see a mom who is doing everything for their kids, who is running around ragged and needs time to prioritize themselves. And here's what we're going to do here. We are going to do a workout that's going to strengthen your muscles. It's going to work on your posture, which, by the way, will make you just look thinner if you just stand up with your shoulders back, guys. If that is their goal, it will. But I cannot change a scale. And guess what? You don't really need to, because no one knows what it says. You don't walk around with your scale, and the scale isn't even honest. I just had a girlfriend of mine call me so sad because she had to go for her annual visit, and it just did so much triggering because they weighed her. Mm. She's like, I only lost 10 pounds. I've been doing all this work. And I said, my dear, your boobs way more than most people's legs. Like, you have, that's like the genetic makeup of your body. You gotta, like, that's not the, what the scale doesn't show is all the work you've done. So what I tell people when they came in for that is, like, here's what I can do. And then here's all the people I can send you to who are experts in this area. If you, between them and you, you decide a weight loss journey is still part of what you need for your health, that's fine. But being thinner isn't healthy. And I think also I will admit, because if anyone ever looks me up or sees things, in 2018, I was having massive digestive issues. I wasn't absorbing nutrition. So I was actually getting too skinny. I was that LA skinny that everybody was, like, wanting, but I was in pain all day long, really, really unhealthy. And so, of course, I looked like they wanted, which I look back at those pictures and go, who would want to look like this? I look tired. I look exhausted. It didn't matter how much makeup was on, but there is this weird thing that if you're raised, especially during certain decades of this world, that there, we have to get to be the skinniest we can be. And it was hard because people would be attracted into that and I would be honest with them. And the cool thing is they were with me. They were with me long enough to trust me to just like, can we just strengthen your body and focus on you? And I think the honesty that I had when I looked in the eyes about like how weight loss happened, but here's what we can do, was probably the first time anyone had ever been honest with them on their journey. So I think that that really helped people trust me enough to just try it out. And I had them for years. And guess what? When I started gaining weight, because I needed to, and because that's what happens when you start to absorb nutrition, they stuck with me. They did not go, oh gosh, she's gaining weight now. And today, as I sit in front of you, I weigh 30 pounds more than I did when I started Pilates, 30 pounds more than when a lot of people started doing Pilates with me, but I'm the strongest I've ever been. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I have the most energy I've ever been. I'm the happiest I've ever been. And so I think like, it is not easy to disentangle the information of what we perceived ourselves having to look like for what's the beautiful standards. That's hard, especially when you've had the messaging over and over again. But I also think like having more and more honest conversations with women, and when they say something about themselves, about their weight, about how they look, like if you're listening to this and you have a friend who self-deprecates around how they look, stop them. Just say, it makes me uncomfortable when you talk about yourself like that because I think you're beautiful. Mm. You know, like I think I have a great girlfriend who like really, really wants to change the conversation, and she doesn't want her daughters to grow up in a world where like weight loss is the thing and like yo-yo dieting is the thing. And she has rules around what you can say about your body in front of her. You're not allowed to say that you, oh gosh, I look so fat today. You're not allowed to around her kids. She doesn't ever want them. And what happens is by her putting those boundaries in place around her friends, it makes them reflect, oh wow, I say that a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think like, yes, I got a lot of that in LA. I welcomed being the person who could be honest with them. And I think that that's hard because nobody wants to tell somebody something they don't want to hear. But also, what's the worst? They would have just not taken Pilates from me. And that's their journey. I can't force them to. So that was my thing.
Yeah, that's great. And you're totally right. The words are so powerful, right? Like how we talk about our bodies, and other people hear that. And I constantly hear that from other people saying, well, if gosh, this person who looks like that says that about themselves, what do they think about me? And oftentimes they're not even thinking about the other person, but that wreaks havoc on this other person who's hearing it. Cause there's that, especially with eating disorders, there's that body comparison. It's like, oh my gosh, if that person who looks like this is saying that about themselves,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, what about me? And I can imagine, you know, daughter is hearing that from moms. Like if mom's saying that about her body, like, oh my gosh, like,
oh, 100%. I mean, actions are caught, not taught, right? So mm-hmm. like if you're constantly shaming yourself, even if you would never say that about your kid, they're hearing that. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it took me my own journey to really discover, like, I remember probably 2 years into like after college doing Pilates, I remember being so tired of wanting to lose weight. I was like, is there ever like a point where you aren't on a diet? Like I remember having this conversation with myself because I was raised around a grandmother who would gain 100 pounds, lose 100 pounds, gain 100 pounds, lose 100 pounds, right? So I was raised that you're just on a diet. You're either on a diet or not on a diet, but like that's how it is. And I remember just going, are there people out there who just like live? And I gave myself permission to just see what that was like. And look, like that was weird and freeing. And the amount of brain space I was taking up wondering, like, can I eat this? What if I eat this? What's going on here? And for the people who are listening, who are going through digestive issues, I know the brain game that that is, because you often don't know what's causing things. So then you create a disordered eating that happens just by like, what can I eat that doesn't hurt my body? And what I will say is, find doctors that help you. And if you don't feel like you're being helped, find a different doctor. Like keep going, because what I did was try to fix it myself. And I caused even more damage and more disordered eating that I had to really free myself of like, oh, I can eat an egg. Oh, I can eat bread. Like I can eat these things. And it was a journey to finding myself. And I think like it really hurts me when I see beautiful women think there's something wrong with them just based on like, not even what society says, like my girlfriend who went to the doctor and the doctor was like, oh, if your blood numbers didn't go down, then we'll have to put you on this weight loss injection that they're all doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, there's other ways to get your blood sugars down.
Of course. Well, and I think that's part of the thing is like, there's no point in having to get weighed when you go to the doctors either, right? I think that wreaks havoc because, we could go on and on about the BMI, all of that too, right? But I think people, you know, they've probably heard me say this in other podcasts if they've listened before, but you can tell your doctor, I don't want to get weighed when you go in. And, you know, hear that loud and clear. Like, if you don't want to get triggered or if that's something for you, you can absolutely just say, please don't weigh me. And I think a lot of people don't realize they can give themselves that permission.
Christine, you're amazing. I actually didn't know you could just say, I don't want to get weighed, but I love that you gave us that permission. And also everyone listening, if you really, really want to know what's more important, it's like, get on an index, like a DEXA scan, or get on a scale where actually they can test what's your bone mass density, what's your muscular weight, what's going on there? Because those are the things that have more information for you to work with than just what your body weighs right now. I was listening to a podcaster and she's like 9 months pregnant and they're weighing her. And the woman's like writing the what number down. She's like, do not round up. Do not write it down. And it's like, I know it's for the health of the baby, but also like, aren't you going to scan it? Yeah, aren't we just going to scan the baby anyways?
Well, I never understood that anyway. I'll be honest with you. I have two kids and I just was like, doesn't it really matter, like, the state of my body health and like if the baby's growing and like all these other things, to your point, like my blood pressure and like, think, yeah, if the baby's growing and I'm feeling good and all of that, like, what does it matter how much I weight or not?
Your sugar numbers are more important there. Your heartbeat, your lung capacity, those things really, really matter. And I think we have to stop thinking that skinny is healthy and that being at a different size is unhealthy. I have seen, when I was at my thinnest, was the most unhealthy. I had doctors who did my blood work going, who were very, very nervous for my health. And literally, like, here's what these numbers I need to see getting up there so we can actually make sure that you live here. Like, you're able to continue going. And we somehow will look at somebody who's a different size and go, oh, they're lazy or they must be unhealthy. And it's like, no, actually, you don't know what their numbers say. You can't see that from them. Mm-hmm. And it's very likely that the thinner you are, there's maybe something else that's not going right that could affect you later. I think it's just really interesting how we've just skewed what health is. And I think we were talking about this earlier, like why exercise got coined with weight loss. It's this really weird thing. They are different categories and there are different experts and there are different things you have to be looking at to exercise to me is like, we used to be hunter gatherers. We used to get out, we used to do things, but also guess what? They also used to sit around too. The reason to move is so you have longevity, not because because that the scale is going to tell you something. And something that's really important is you can be the thinnest person ever, but if you can't get down on the ground and stand back up again without help of your hands or your knees or assistance, you're not going to live that long. There's already studies. So like, it's really important to work on, to me, bone health and muscular strength versus what the scale says. And by the way, when you put on muscle, your scale is going to go up. So you may as well just stop getting on it.
Yeah. No, one of the most liberating things that I experienced, and I see it with all of my patients over the years, is when they actually do let go of the scale. It's one of the scariest things if you're somebody who's using that daily, you know, even several times a day. It can be very hard. But it's the most liberating thing. It's then you finally just let go of that number. Don't let it have power over you. And use other things, to your point of like having the mind-body connection or experiencing, oh gosh, I have energy today, or I can think today, or I can go up the flight of stairs and not get winded. Or, you know, like for me, one of the biggest things was like being able to go from sitting to standing without like blacking out, like feeling dizzy. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, what is that? And that only happened when I started to really take care of my health and really feed it with the proper nutrition and stop over-exercising, like really focused on what mattered and like what my body needed.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about the scale every day. One of the things that I'm so grateful put me on this journey of advocating for women to just move versus to lose weight. I would see the most, I worked at a high-end gym. I would see the most powerful, most amazing, richest women. I mean, as I mentioned, I was in LA. Just they had on the outside everything, right? and they would be laughing on the phone, chatting, hi, Leslie, like all the stuff. And then I'd watch them get on the scale. Mm-hmm. And I would watch their most amazing personality just shift. Mm-hmm. And it was so sad to me to see someone who had just walked up the stairs laughing, so excited to be there, having a great day, outsource all that happiness to what that scale said. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's when I was like, what are we doing here? Like, mm-hmm. what is this? Why are we letting the number on this scale that's arbitrary? By the way, I'm like going to BMI. You guys, that is an insurance night. Like that stuff makes me so mad because you could be a literal bodybuilder and your BMI says you're obese. So mm-hmm. no, but like these things that we are taking in and making them be who we think we are. My girlfriend is a doctor. She's a functional medicine doctor. She has a beautiful body and she is the height of most women who are like Chinese American, right? And she's like, I will never have their body type ever. So we are just not going to have, like, I cannot try to be the same weight they are. We are different people genetically. We are different people. So really starting to own like, what is health to me? And like, I love how you have those markers. Oh, I can stand up without getting dizzy. We have to give ourselves markers that are actual signs that we're achieving what our health success is. That's not outsourced to a number on a scale that doesn't take in all of the factors of your day.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, something else that I had come to a realization for myself, even with exercise, was there was another purpose for it at some point. Like, I used to be on sports teams and like I had to fuel myself with nutrition to perform for my team, to be able to go out there and, you know, dribble and shoot shots and like do things, right? I wasn't going to be very good for my team if I wasn't fueling myself. Like the purpose of exercise was for training, for a purpose to engage in that sport. It was not for weight loss, right?
Yeah.
It was like a whole different thing, right?
When you're a kid, it gets to be something for fun and to like even get a scholarship with or to be with your friends. And then when you get older, it's like, oh, it's got to be something else. And it's interesting. I do Pilates practice every morning mm-hmm. and I do it as part of what makes my day a better day. Mm-hmm. And it's such a more freeing way to look at my movement practice versus like, I remember, my goodness, the 16 years ago me would be like, oh my God, I had the croissant last night. I had two drinks at the bar. I am not going to have this treadmill until it says a certain number. Like that mm-hmm. is terrible. That is awful. I wish I could go back and get my time back.
Yeah. Because that's where people ask all the time, like, how do you know if you have disordered eating or you've crossed the line with exercise? And I think you just said it perfectly. It's like, if exercise now becomes something to compensate for, gosh, I just ate this. Now I have to, you know, do this to, you know, burn off the croissant or the drinks, right? The purpose of exercise at that point is not anything other than burning off what you just ate, right? It's like punishment.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, it's not fun. That doesn't sound fun. It sounds like if I don't do this, I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel horrible. In your mind, you're thinking like, okay, I've gotten to the point now where I've made up for what I just did, like penance or something.
Right. Right. But then it all starts over again tomorrow. Like when I was in LA, I had the opportunity to work at a different location than when I first started. And that was a whole different experience of like just watching how people treated their bodies. And it was mm-hmm. interesting because I would just come in the morning to teach. And I would, as I come in to teach a client, someone would be on elliptical. And then I would go to the bathroom, wash my hands. She's still on the elliptical. Teach another client. I go out, still three clients in a row. That's 55 minutes times three.
Oh.
She's still on an elliptical. Here's the thing, ladies, you're listening, like, the reason I'm such a proponent of Pilates is because it is a strength-based workout that you can only do for so many minutes and you don't even have to do for an hour. By the way, I don't even mm-hmm. know. I do not know who determined that we have to work out for an hour. That is, I feel like, almost a way of doing like payroll for the teacher and not necessarily the client, because it's easier to pay by the hour. But the cardio stuff, we now know enough information to know that you do not need to do that much, if any, because yes, it's for your heart, but you can get your cardiovascular up in a weight training workout, in a Pilates workout, chasing after your kids. Like there could little be little bouts of getting your heart to be challenged. And what they are discovering is, ladies, as we get older, that cardio junkie stuff is not making your perimenopausal life any better. So like, I feel like there was so much misinformation, disinformation, and also like some of it I feel like was just to keep us so busy on an elliptical going nowhere. And I would watch these women for hours, and then I watched the men at the weights. And I was like, there's something going on here. Why do they get to lift the weights and get bigger? And we have to get smaller. I don't understand. And guess what? Their bones are stronger because they're lifting weights. And we have a whole generation of women who are having bone density problems.
Right. And I'm wondering, you know, I get questions all the time, and I'm a psychologist, but I still get the questions like, well, how much exercise do I need to do? And what's the right amount and this and that? And there's still questions like, okay, even this morning, like some things popped up on my phone, maybe because of what I do for a living. I don't know, but I get these certain feeds. It's like all these articles of what kind of exercise you need to do to lose weight and what, you know, what's the best way to, you know, manage your weight by, do you need to do weights first or cardio first? And I know it's probably, like I said, because of what I do for a living and all the things that the algorithms I get, but it infuriates me reading this. I'm like, are these articles still being written? Like, no wonder people are so fixated on exercise for weight loss, because these articles are, there's so many of them and they're everywhere. And so I don't know how to like get louder than those articles.
You want to know why? Because everyone still wants a quick fix. It's like a cyclical chicken and the egg thing. People want a quick fix. The journalists want to sell magazines. So the only way to sell magazines is to get the quick fix. Mm. I am on a list of things where like people are wanting to know, like, how do I get Miley Cyrus's arms? As a Pilates instructor, of course, I got to ask this. And I sent out, she's been doing Pilates for over 15 years, more like at least an hour a day, a particular style of Pilates. And I'm sure she dances, and I'm sure she has other things she's doing. And I'm sure she has a specific diet she's on, and she's 31 and
genetics and
and all these things. Like when I was 31, yeah, much easier, you know, but they said, how long would it take? And is there any other way to do it faster? And I was just like, here's all how she did it. And even if you copied her, I cannot guarantee that that's what will happen, because I don't know who you are. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what, any of these other things. By the way, can we please write articles that are not like this? Like, I write them in every single time. They're like, what are the best Pilates exercises for getting toned abs? And I was like, dehydration. Dehydration. And like, you... Even as a Pilates instructor who's been doing it for as long as I have, since 2005, I do not have toned abs, because this is my body. And by the way, toned abs should not be the goal. And I guess there's nothing wrong if that's the goal you want. I don't want to shame you if that's your goal, but also that's not a sign of health either. It's not a sign of health. Toned abs is a genetic thing. It's also, like I said, a dehydration thing. It's like, you know, like, that's why when you go to those muscle competitions, they haven't had water. They're like literally not drinking water for days, you guys. And so they can go up there to show off all these muscles, because the only way to see some of them is in dehydrated states. That's a whole other place of disordered eating. Mm-hmm. But we think we need to look like that. They don't even look like that when they're not training, mm-hmm. when they're not in competition, guys. I have tons of friends who've done it, and when they're not doing that, they look like you and me. So I think it's like a problem that we want quick fixes. They need to sell magazines to stay in business. I think if we all as a society decided we don't want the quick fixes, we want the real scientific information, we want the real answers out there, and we were willing to hear what we don't want to hear, which is like, it could take time. It could never be you. This is actually what it is. Like, I think we'd be in a better place, but my goodness, we had a good couple of years in there where I didn't see a single need for an article that said tone, and now it's all back.
Well, and you know, as you and I were touching base beforehand, one of the reasons why I'm always hesitant to have somebody on the podcast that, you know, somebody, a professional in exercise or Pilates or anything like this, is because so often there is this promotion of weight loss or this promotion of a certain body type or look as the goal for doing that exercise. And what I love about you and why I have you on here is because that's not the reason why you work with people or the reason why you encourage people to do Pilates. Like if you said, it's like the mind-body connection to get stronger for optimal health, for longevity, for all these other things. And the people you have working with you, like they're all shapes and sizes and like appearances. And that's a wonderful thing because guess what? Out there in the world, everybody looks different. There's so much body diversity. And I don't know, I'd love to hear more about like your decision to have people work under you and with you and for your clients.
So when I started onlinepilatesclass.com, it was just me. And I didn't intend to have other people on, but then I found out people weren't signing up because they didn't look like me. They're like, oh, I don't look like you, so I can't do it. And I was like, oh. And it was interesting because wasn't anything I'd written. Mm-hmm. Wasn't anything I'd said. Like I promote that for everybody. And yet there was an internal dialogue someone was having that I couldn't help, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, how do I change that? Because I can't change what I look like, right? So what can I do? And I looked across my membership and I looked at our most active members and they were Pilates instructors as well. And I said, I would love for you to join the team so that we can be more diverse and diverse in not just backgrounds of mm-hmm. where you're from, but also what you look like body type wise. So we have short to tall, tiny to my girls who are bigger, like, you know, they'll call themselves the fat Pilates instructor or the bigger Pilates instructor. I don't love that F word. I know people are taking it back. It's not my favorite, but that's what they want to be known for. And that's, I won't ever take that away from them. To me, they're freaking strong, all of them. Mm-hmm. And having those different heights and body types means that if you are fun size, which they call our people who are under 5 feet, under 5'2", watching Christine or Tammy do an exercise allows you to see, oh, that looks like that. Cause I'm 5'9". My legs are super long. You guys are not going to look like me doing an exercise. So it's really nice for them to see that. And so bringing them on was really big deal, was a big investment. It really did irritate a lot of my members because they're like, I didn't pay for that. I'm like, you're right. You didn't. And you're still not. I priced it so that you're not. I priced the membership so that even if I only teach half the classes, you are still not paying for them. And I, as part of your membership, like that is important to me. I really wanted no one to have an excuse not to learn from other people. And it wasn't their body types or what they look like that was making people upset. It was that they just wanted to take from me. But I know that while I am an amazing instructor, I'm not gonna be able to teach everybody. Because the way I say something, the way I feel something in my body is me different because I don't have the same body experience that someone who's 5'2 has. Mm-hmm. I don't have the same body experience as someone who's 180 pounds has. Like, it's important for those teachers to have a space on my platform so that they can say something, maybe even the same way I say it, but because someone can look at them doing it and it looks like them, they can resonate better. And so to me, it allows everybody to have a better experience. And I do believe Pilates is a mind-body practice. It's not often taught that way. So if you are not experienced that where you are, like it is. So you should have time to connect your mind to your body. There should be mm-hmm. time where the teacher is not counting for you or talking at you or overcorrecting you. Because the way I believe Pilates is that the body teaches itself. And my job is to help you figure out how to connect to more parts of your body. So that you're not feeling it in your neck or you're not feeling it in your shoulder, but you're feeling it in the strength of your muscles.
And that's great because I think some people listening might need to hear that. Almost like permission to engage in exercises that maybe they've told themselves or come to believe like, oh, I'm not capable or I'm not allowed to go. Or I hear that a lot, even from my own friends are like, oh, I'm not in shape enough to go to the gym or I'm not flexible enough to do yoga or my body's too big to do Pilates or, you know, whatever they tell themselves, whatever barriers they have. But they're erroneous, but they come from somewhere to your point.
The stories we tell ourselves. Yeah. I met so many people who are like, when I lose weight, I'll do Pilates. I need to get stronger and then I can do it. I need to get more flexible. And I'm like, where do you think these things are? What are you talking about? But also, like, if you want to get more flexible, you do Pilates, you do the yoga. If you want to get stronger, you do the Pilates, like you lift the weights. You can't wait. It's not like you go to the store and buy it. It's like you're saving up. You got to go do it. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's also like, it's important, you know, just because other experiences haven't been great when it comes to movement and the movement practice doesn't mean you can't have great experiences. Mm-hmm. It might mean having to re-explore like what feels safe to you. Like what's so cool about today's day and age is like, you don't have to go to a Pilates studio. If that's triggering to you, if seeing skinny teachers up there who are 22 bothers you, you don't have to. Guess what? You could do it online. That's why I created what I did. If you feel like at home you won't take care of yourself, then you can go to a brick and mortar. There are so many options. And so I think, like, first of all, it's one, giving yourself permission to move and to be a beginner, to be at a place where you don't know the moves and you don't know how your body moves and you don't necessarily know how to do the exercises yet. But just to like be a beginner, it's so cool to be a beginner. We don't get to be beginners enough as adults. Like we're expected to know so much in our jobs and our home and our parenting. You're supposed to be this expert, but you could be a beginner at a Pilates class and you can get to know yourself and how you move. And then you can get more and more connected. And it's amazing what could happen, because what I see so often from women who give themselves permission to do a Pilates class and to have a Pilates practice that they own, they start to show up differently, because there is, you do get posture from Pilates, because having core strength, it's not just your abs, guys, your core, so many other muscles. Mm-hmm. There's muscles around your back and your hips that are part of your core. When you have that better posture, it's proven. A.B. Cuddy did it. When people stand that superwoman stance for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. they have more confidence. You can't stand in that stance without the muscles to hold you there. When you have that, when you walk into a room, people change how they perceive you. And so I love working with people on their posture, because it does affect their confidence.
Yeah, I don't think people really realize like the effect it has on so many other things. Like if you feel strong, if you feel the connection, it can actually be an emotional experience too. Like really like quieting the mind and connecting to your body. Not a lot of people take the time to just do that, or even give themselves permission to have time to themselves. Almost like it's like a lot of moms I talk to, even myself, sometimes it feels like, oh, that's selfish. I need to give all my time to everybody else. Or, you know, who am I to like take this time away from my kids or the house or whatever? What would you say to people like that? Yeah.
Mamas, ladies, we have to stop thinking that we come last. It's not serving you, and it's not teaching the people around you, especially the moms listening. If your kids see you having to give up on everything that matters to you to take care of them, they don't actually see possibility. They think, if I become a mom, I can't do the other things. So for the moms, like, it's incredibly important that you understand that people are around you are watching you, and your actions are teaching things, and your kids, especially your daughters, are seeing that if I'm a mom, then I don't actually get to have the hobbies. Mm. I can't have the dream job and this. It is so, so important that you understand that it's not terrible or bad parenting for your kids to come after you, or even after your marriage, because what they're seeing is how you can have healthy relationships and boundaries, and you can come first. It's not selfish. It's not narcissistic. If you do not make time for your movement and your strength and your power, you don't get to chase after them when they want to play it with you. You will have aches and pains at Disneyland. You will, like, these are things, and your kids remember the things that they didn't get to do with you. They do. They remember the pain that causes. If mom is too tired, if mom is too stressed. What's so fun about doing Pilates is that you could do it at home with your kids. It's low impact. They could do with you. You know, there's so many things that, like, they say kids can't do because, like, they have to grow. But guess what? They can do Pilates. It's as safe as them taking a dance class or gymnastics and things like that. So they could do it with you even. And you guys can celebrate together. And instead, your kid grows up with, like, movement is fun and it's part of our daily routine. And it's how we're stronger. It's how we bond. It's how we spend time together. So there's just so many different ways to think about it. But my goodness, we have got to stop was the thing where the moms come last. It's not helping anyone.
No. And I love that you said that too. Just, you know, as a mom myself, like, it's true. And, you know, doing something where it does help your mind-body connection, like what I noticed is it helps me be more present when I am with my kids, because it does help with my stress level. I'm much more focused and much more present, and I really appreciate the time that I'm with them versus like if I don't do some kind of activity where I'm coping or de-stressing, I'm not as present. So for any moms out there, please give yourself permission. Like, yeah, absolutely. Exactly what Leslie said.
But it doesn't have to be an hour. It also, the way habits are built, you all, it's not all or nothing.
Right.
Maybe 5 minutes. What happens is you'll start to realize that the 5 minutes got easier. You can do 10, and then you can do 15. And then you can determine like what amount of minutes makes you feel good. It's going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And on different days, I do 20 minutes versus I have time to do 50 minutes. And it really is kind of like listening to my body. And the only way you can listen to your body is to listen to your body, like to build a relationship between your mind and body, what feels good. And what I love about my Pilates practice is like, I can feel like, oh, that feels really tight. Oh, what's going on there? Oh, I don't have as much energy as I did yesterday. Oh, I didn't sleep enough. Like you can start to compare yourself from day to day and you'll start to see what are the things that are going on in your daily life that are supporting you versus not supporting you. And it really allows you to dial things back or up in your day. So if you feel tired and the movement feels harder today than it did yesterday, wouldn't it be great if you could just go, oh, hey guys, today I need a little bit of extra help. I actually can't do that today. Because you know from your movement practice that you need a little bit extra today. It's okay to ask. And then you'll know, it won't be a surprise. It won't be like, you won't have to apologize to anybody later because you snapped or didn't do the thing. Like it's just really great to get to know your body in that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would do want to say something too, though, like also don't feel compelled to like, you have to do this. Like, you know, you have to fit in self-care. Like you have to do this because then it becomes a mandate. Like you feel guilty for all sorts of things. I feel guilty if I don't put in time for self-care. I feel guilty if I do. I do. Like, I think there's always this, like, I'm not doing enough. Like I'm not doing it right. Look, have some grace for yourself. Right. It's hard. It's hard to balance it all out.
Oh my gosh. I love that you said that. Also, like self-care is the beauty in the eye of the beholder. You know, for some of you, self-care might just be washing your hair tomorrow and actually putting on clothes. Self-care might be indulging in the latte you wouldn't give yourself. Like it can be anything. It doesn't have to be the massage or 5 days of working out. It can be what feels good to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So find out what that is for you. Absolutely. I think expanding your mind to what that can look like is truly, truly important. And I think some of that can come from having that mind-body connection to your point. It can be like, you know what? I'm tired today. I just need to like sit down, snuggle up with the kids or snuggle up on the couch and like watch some TV or whatever. But you might not know that if you're not connected to your body. If you just feel like I have to do all these things, you know, that might not be something you're aware of, or you might not realize how lacking in sleep you are or how exhausted you are. So I think you bring up such a good point that this is really important for people to do, just to connect with themselves. And so maybe listening, just asking yourself, like, when's the last time I was really aware of like how I felt in my body or how tired I was or how much I'm just doing and not aware of like the effect it's having on me.
Yeah. I mean, that could just be the question you journal on and explore. And the answer doesn't have to be anything we've said today. It might be something else that you're craving, and that's okay.
So I know we've brought up like a lot of different topics other than just Pilates, but I think the whole practice does like bode well for people who do want to connect with themselves. And I think the way you're going about it is probably one of the most healthiest I've ever heard, to be honest with you. I think people hear Pilates and they think all sorts of other things other than, you know.
They think so many things other than what I do. And I'm like, I'm a woman on a mission. Thanks for letting me, let me share mine. And I hope it is freeing for people. And, you know, because thank you. I think there's a lot of myths out there around what Pilates is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever tried it and it sounded different than what I said, I hope you give it another try, because maybe that person was just the wrong avenue for you and where you were at the time.
Right. And that's exactly why I wanted to have you on. I think, like I said, I think the initial thought of people, like when they are going to see the subject of today's podcast, be like, why on earth is she having Pilates as the topic? But I'm glad you came on.
I hope people don't avoid it, but I really am grateful for you letting me express what I believe is the truth, and also like what I think Joseph Pilates intended for his movement to be. It wasn't, you all, it was brought to the U.S. in the 20s by a man for men, and the dancers became his clients and they took it over. And that's why people think the Pilates body is what looks like a dancer, but that's what they genetically look like. And so like, I really love going back to like, what did Joseph Pilates create? He created a strength-based movement for us to have longevity. And that's the goal. And that's what I want more people to have.
That's fantastic. So, okay, you have classes people can do at home, online. People are obviously going to want to check you out, maybe find these classes. How can they do that?
Yeah, we do. We have easy. It's like within 3 steps, you can click play and do your movement. And we also believe finishing is optional. So just because the class says 30 minutes doesn't mean you have to do it for 30 minutes. We also believe it's brave and courageous to replace what you can't do yet with what you can do. So you're getting lots and lots of reminders that you are amazing just the way you are. And if all you do is press play and then you end up playing with your kid, that's fine. You did it. So onlinepilatesclasses.com is the website. If you are interested in building up a mat practice, if you go to opc.me/challenge, I hate the word challenge, but people get it. There is an accountability program that's free that starts with a 10-minute class, and it builds up and it will help hold you accountable, and it'll take you through the course of 4 weeks. Totally free. Enjoy it. And if you are like me and you just don't ever do the 40 minutes, that's fine. you can just repeat the 30 or the 20 or the 10, whatever works best for you, because for us, again, it's not about the minutes. It's about you getting your mind-body connection in.
Great. Thank you so much. And all that will be in the show notes. So Leslie, thank you so very much for being here and like hopefully expanding people's minds and getting people a different perspective on all of this. So I don't know.
You're amazing. This is the most fun I've had answering questions about Pilates and getting to like talk freely about like what's really important, because oftentimes it's just about the practice and it's not about like why this benefits us so much. So thank you for doing what you're doing and helping so many people think about what beautiful and what their body is and what health is. I think it's so important. So here's to us changing algorithms of what comes up.
Gosh, one podcast, one person at a time, right? Like, yeah. Let's just keep being loud, hopefully. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. Keep up all the great work you're doing.
Thank you. You too.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.